I am so grateful for the Word of God. It's a comfort to the believer, and especially at a time like this, how we need to take just a few moments and to see what God would say to our hearts in response to what's going on in the world around us today. And I guess that's where my thoughts have been. I bet much of what's going on in the world has been on your thoughts as well. And so I want to approach it from the standpoint today of having peace, or finding your peace with God. With that in mind, let's begin with a word of prayer, and then I'll get into the message the Lord has laid on my heart from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, the verses I just read earlier in the service with you today. Shall we pray? Our Father, we're thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful for its sufficiency. We're thankful, Lord, that it speaks to our hearts, ministers to our needs right up to the present day. And what we're asking again for today is a word from heaven. Would you touch our hearts? Would you expose your truth to us? And may the truth refresh and build up the people of God. The Lord, I can't see their faces. I can't see their hearts. But you know each person by name and have even counted the number of hairs on their head. Look after their needs, and through the preaching of your word, meet spiritual needs in each life as you are capable of doing. So we put the message and these next moments into your hands. Lead and accomplish your purpose. Bring about eternal good, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, these are exciting days. Who would have ever thought when we turned the page to January 1 this year that we would be facing the times in which we're now living? These are certainly exciting days. Every person, though, is dealing with inconveniences and disappointments. Birthday parties have been canceled. Wedding plans have been disrupted. Travel plans have been suspended. People have been laid off, and companies, out of necessity, are having to shut down. These are certainly difficult things to experience. But also, there's a lot of good going on. Think of the benefits. Right now, we're learning to communicate in a way we haven't before, through a video feed. And on top of that, we're able to pick up our phones and call each other and minister to one another over the phone while practicing social distancing. So God is good. And beyond that, there hasn't been a sweeter or better time to share your faith. People are on heightened alert about death and dying, and so therefore they're more open to talk about spiritual things and about the peace that a person can have with God. And there is peace with God if you're right through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I certainly hope you know that peace. But I want to go a little bit further beyond that today and talk to believers today about how we're to find peace at such a time as in which we live. You know, even if you try to keep yourself and remain peaceful and calm in this situation, man, everybody around you is almost losing their heads. It reminds me of Rudyard Kipling's poem, If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. And certainly, people have been losing their heads. In the state of Arizona just this week, I understand that somebody taking malaria drugs believed to prevent the coronavirus ended up overdosing and died this week in Arizona. I heard in California that neighbors have started calling the police when they hear another neighbor cough or sneeze. And on top of that, your neighbors have bought more food at the grocery stores in the last 2 weeks than they've bought in the last 2 years. Certainly, people are losing their heads. So how can you as a Christian keep yours when everyone is losing theirs? And I believe our text today helps us do just that, because it gives us several action plans or things that we can do to keep our heads in a world that's coming apart, apparently at the seams. Look again with me, if you would, at Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, Paul cares for these folks, and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. The command there is to stand fast in the Lord. That word means to persevere or to keep on standing. We might say it means to keep your head, to keep your footing when everything else is giving way. So how can we do that? Well, I believe this text gives us at least three ways in which all of us can keep our footing, can be stable in a world that's shaking. Let me give those to you today. The first one is found in verses 2 and 3, and that is this. You need to be careful to get along. Be careful to get along. The Bible says in verse 2, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Paul called two women out by name, and their names are preserved in Scripture. Didn't you hate it when your teacher called you out by name in junior high? Wow, these two women are singled out, and they were told to stop bickering with one another, for their disagreement was disrupting the entire church. In fact, Paul solicited the help of fellow believers in the church to mitigate this problem and bring a resolution. In fact, in verse number 3, when he says, I entreat thee also, help those women. The word help is the second imperative in the passage. He is commanding the believers to help each other get along. We need to do that. We need to get along with others, and we need to encourage others to do the same. Have you ever noticed how something can happen at work? It just kind of grates your spirit and kind of just burn you in on the inside. And as much as you try to kind of get a hold of that and a handle on it, by the time you get home, you can't speak peaceably to your spouse because it's still nagging at your spirit. Or how about if you're a teacher or a child care provider at daycare, and all day long the kids have been riding you, they've been a headache, and you finally get home, and what happens? Your own kids can't do anything right. There is that thing that happens to us, that something goes awry, and the tensions of life and the pressures and struggles tend to pour over on the people who are closest to us, and they start taking the brunt of how we're feeling. Here in Philippi, a similar thing was going on. They're a relatively new church. They've been supporting Paul and his work, but they have been under persecution and fire from people who didn't like what they represented, from the Jews and others in the city who didn't care for them or what they were teaching. And some of that pressure and some of that tension of going through a difficult time was spilling over into the church, so that two members inside the church weren't able to speak peaceably to one another. Turmoil on the outside had turned into trouble on the inside. Now think about your present circumstances. Some of you have lost income. Some of you have been laid off. Some of you have moved your workspace into your home, and now you're trying to take phone calls and emails and meet deadlines. Meanwhile, your kids are running around mad around the house as if they're on perpetual recess, which seemingly will never end. So pressures and tension is easily able to mount, even in a Christian home, among the people that you love. And if you don't exercise care, you too may unravel in your relationships. Some of you may be following what I'm saying, but you're thinking to yourself, yeah, but what am I supposed to do about it? I can't control this. They're sending everybody home. Well, I'm so glad you asked, because Paul actually gives us some instruction here about how to get along with people in difficult times. And it's two more commands that we find in the next two verses. And the first one is in verse 4. A verse that some of us have memorized. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. There the command is mentioned twice, both at the beginning and the end of the verse. Rejoice in the Lord. We typically look at that verse, if we have it memorized, or we hear it and we think, well, that means that because of the Lord in my life, I can be happy all the time. And there's a sense in which that is true. The Lord definitely brings happiness into the life of those people who know Him. But that really isn't the main point. I remind you of the context. The context is two people aren't getting along. And the believers in the church are supposed to help one another get along. And He encourages them to help these believers by having them rejoice in the Lord. That is the critical thing. When we're in pressured and stressed and going through difficulty, we tend to look on the inside and focus on ourselves. And this command forces us to look outward, actually, to look upward, to rejoice in the Lord. Notice that is the object. I don't rejoice in my circumstances. I may not rejoice what's set on the table in front of me, but I can rejoice in the Lord. And if I remember what I have in the Lord, I can rejoice. And I have so much. In fact, Christians have so much in common with the Lord that their differences are relatively minimal if we focus on the Lord. There we find forgiveness, and there we find the cross, and there we find the shed blood, and there we find a God who was willing to love us when we were unlovely, and there we're encouraged to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave us. And when we remember the Lord, we're more able to get along with other people. This is the emphasis through the passage. Look back at verse number 1. The first command in the passage is to stand fast in the Lord. Verse number 2, they're to be of the same mind in the Lord. And then verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord. Remember the Lord in all of this. Don't let your stresses pull you apart. Get focused again upon the Lord. And friend, isn't God good? I bet if you took just a few minutes today and whipped out a telephone pad or a memo pad of some kind, I bet you could come up with 5 or 10 things that God is doing good to you, or some kind of goodness in your life as a result of this crisis that we're in. In fact, the Bible tells us in everything to give thanks, for this is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. This would be a good thing for us to do. Get our eyes back on the Lord. Hasn't God promised to take care of you in all of this? No matter what, even if the world falls apart, God still is, and He doesn't quit on any of His promises. Hasn't God promised to work all together for good to them that love God, and to ultimately take you on to glory? This is your God. Get your eyes on Him. And if all this is true, then you can rejoice, and so can I. So let's not complain. Let's not sit around dejected. Let's gather our families around for prayer and praise and thank the Lord. This will cure our conflicts. This will strengthen our relationships. But I told you there were two things that would help. One is to rejoice in the Lord. And the second is in verse number 5. And it is, let moderation be shown, he says, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So the second one is this idea of moderation. Not a word we use typically in English today. And the word has a broad range of meaning in the original. It means to be gentle. In fact, some translations use gentleness or reasonableness or friendly or fair or equitable. All of these things are true, but maybe the best English word that comes closest, and I'm jumping at this because there's a lot of opinion about it, but it's the word graciousness. Let your graciousness be known unto all men. If I'm going to help people get along, I've got to get their attention back on the Lord. And then I have got to exercise grace in my relationships with other people. We need to go out of our way to be patient, fair, equitable, gentle, mild, and in that way to be gracious to other people. Do you realize that your godliness is not measured ultimately by how loudly you praise the Lord on Sunday, but how you treat others Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Remember, Christ taught us to love God with all of our heart, and the second command is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot dismiss love for God from love for your neighbor. In other words, you cannot rejoice in the Lord and terrorize your family member at the same time. That's incongruous. It does not work. Godly people are gracious with others. Remember in the Old Testament, the Lord instructed his people to care for orphans and widows. In the New Testament, Jesus expanded our interest or care for people to all of our neighbors, to love our neighbors as ourselves. So we need to spread grace liberally around the table and even outside of our own homes. Right now, God has given us a great opportunity to do that, to let our godliness show. While everyone else is irritable, impatient, on edge, doesn't want to shake your hand, doesn't want to get too close, you can break the cycle by being friendly and kind. Now, you may not extend your hand, but you can extend a smile. You can say, I'm praying for you, and you can make a difference for God. You can return a complaint with a blessing, and you can return criticism with rejoicing. You don't have to be like everyone else who's losing their head. Some years ago, a newspaper reported that firefighters in Texas had deliberately set more than 40 destructive fires. When they were finally captured, they were asked why they had done so, and this was their answer. We had nothing to do. We just wanted to get the red lights flashing and the bells clanging. The job of firefighters is to put out fires, not start them. And the job of Christians is to put out fires, not start them. This is something we can do. We can take action. We can be careful to get along with other people, to be a peacemaker in our home, and to encourage others to get along. That's one thing that we can do right now to keep our heads. But the text gives us a second one, starting in verse number 6. Let's take a peek there. The Bible says in verse 6 of Philippians 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. The word careful in the text is the same word that Jesus used in Matthew chapter 6 when he said, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. He's talking not just about thoughts there, but your cares. Don't carry your cares, tomorrow's cares, back into the day. And so we need to be careful not to carry our cares with us, but instead to be careful. Number two, be careful to pray. Be careful to pray. Dissipate your anxiety through prayer. Some of you are thinking, well, that's more easy to say than it is to do. How in the world can I be free of anxiety in a world of people losing their heads? I completely understand. I was in Sprouts 2 weeks ago, a local grocery store, buying some produce. And I happened to walk through the bulk food aisle as I was making my way up to the registers. And something in the store with me did not agree. And I could feel a tickle growing in my throat. And already, there was beginning to be in our community this unsettledness about the pandemic. So I tried to suppress my cough for as long as I could. And the more I thought about it, I thought, I need to do something. I reached in my pocket, and I normally have a mint with me, and there were no mints. No way to suppress the cough. So I tried not to think about it. That didn't work either. And before I knew it, I had to cough. And so I reached, didn't have a tissue, so I reached in and put my head, face inside my elbow and coughed. And boy, whew, did I feel relief. But immediately upon my cough, the line ahead of me split like I was parting the Red Sea. For people were on edge and they were afraid that I was passing along whatever I had to them. You know, I couldn't suppress my cough without a mint. And you will not be able to suppress your worry without prayer. We're Christians. We believe in prayer. Man, we know prayer changes things. And prayer does. It's powerful. God does amazing things when people pray. But prayer is not only about asking and receiving. Jesus said it's about knocking and waiting for Jesus to open the door. In other words, prayer isn't just about petitions. That's part of it. But there's more. Let me explain it this way, in two parts. Number one, the first part is this. Prayer is petitions. In fact, that's what he focuses on in verse number 6 of our text. He said, "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." These are your petitions, the particular needs that you have. And you know, it is a great privilege as a Christian, not necessarily to go and ask God to do things, but simply to pour out your heart and unburden your soul to a God who will take up your burden so that you don't have to carry it. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." But prayer isn't just about petition. Paul mentions in this verse thanksgiving, and I'm going to throw in the additional word of praise. Some people think that praise is about, you know, God being a megalomaniac and focused on himself and needing, you know, a daily pump up from people on earth. Now, I don't think praise is primarily about God. I think praise is primarily about you. You need to remember how big God is and how capable he is of handling all the stresses of your life. And when you praise and when you thank God, man, everything begins to come back into focus and perspective. Problems can seem as large as Mount Lemon, but when you praise God, Mount Lemons begin to shrink into tiny rocks in God's sight. Friend, prayer and praise has an amazing impact to bring peace to the soul. Even if I don't get an answer, knowing that God heard, knowing that God cares, knowing that my pressures are released off on him, is an amazing calming effect on the people of God. We must pray. Here it is, the bonus. Verse number 7 says, if you'll do this, the peace of God which passes all understanding, it's beyond our ability to comprehend how this works. I can't explain it to you. It passes all understanding. But if you'll pray and you'll praise, something amazing is going to happen. Peace is going to roll in over your soul. And that's what he said. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippi was a Roman garrison city. It was fortified against attack and held soldiers. And therefore, people understood a little bit about fortifications in Philippi. They understood a little bit about soldiering and guarding. And when Paul said, the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds, the word keep he used is a word that soldiers were commissioned to guard a port or to guard a point of entry. And it's God saying to us, through the Apostle Paul, this peace that God has will take up station and keep out that which threatens your soul. It will guard you and your spirit from being troubled. What a stabilizing impact then that prayer can have when people pray. So we need to pray for each other. You know, I've said that before. I'm saying it again, but let's think now what it means to pray for others. Yeah, I need to pray for my family and my friends and my church family, but have you prayed for the community? They need prayer for protection, and they need peace, and they need hope against this virus. Have you prayed for our leaders to have wisdom in making decisions? Pray for doctors and hospital staff that are overworked, and I understand are only going to be more overworked as the days roll on. How about the chemists who are working on a cure? How about praying for protection for yourself and patience with people who can be difficult right now? We need to pray for God's will to be done and for God's mercy on mankind. Hey, when you pray, worries wash away and peace multiplies. Some of you may be familiar with the name Isabel Kuhn. She and her husband were missionaries in the Yunnan province. I said Yunnan province of China back in the 1940s and 50s. Back in the 20s, though, before she was married and before she was a servant of the Lord in China, she had her doubts about God. She wasn't so sure he existed or that he could be trusted. And maybe some of you have the same skepticism. She went to a dance with her date, and she was having a difficult time, was very nervous, and could not even enjoy herself. And so she said to her date that night, his name was Les. Les, I don't feel well. Will you please excuse me? And she ran upstairs, which had been the dressing rooms, in preparation for this college dance that she was attending. And when she got to the top of the stairs, her hand was shaking. She could not relax. And up and down the floor, she paced back and forth, not knowing what to do while her date was downstairs. She said she shook like an aspen leaf. Suddenly, she remembered she was trying to prove if there was a God. How ridiculous the thought. She offered a prayer. Oh God, if you are, please give me P. She puffed out the letter P. But she didn't even have time to finish the sentence. Something, she says, like an electric current struck her, shot through me, and she tingled all over. It had come from above, from outside of herself, and it left me completely poised and quiet. Incredulous, I stretched out my hand, and it was steady and firm. Without stopping to say thank you, or to even acknowledge the gift, she ran back downstairs to her date. The dance was still on the same song as she had left, and her date was still standing at the bottom of the staircase where she had left him. God specializes in the P word, when we pray. Can you keep your head? Absolutely, if you'll take action to be careful to get along, to be careful to pray. And finally, let me wrap this message up by saying you need to be careful what you think. Be careful what you think. Look at verse number 8 with me. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. You know, your success or failure as a Christian rides on what you think. What we think determines how we behave. Solomon put it this way in the book of Proverbs 23 and verse number 7. He says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This is a particularly difficult time to think clearly. Daily news updates from around the world are easy enough to get our minds spinning out of control and to let worry get the best of us. The text tells you, though, not every thought is worthy of your attention. He specifically tells us we need to choose the kinds of things that we're going to think about. And he enumerates them this way. He says, finally, my brethren, whatever things, and it's not just one thing he's thinking about, it's any multitude of things, but those things have to be true. That means they adhere with reality. They line up with the truth about God. Often we let our minds, at times like this, spin off onto what-if scenarios. If this happens, or if my parents this, or my sister, or my kids, and we start borrowing tomorrow's troubles. Sometimes the enemy easily lets us slip into that or into something even worse, to doubt the truth about God. Oh, he doesn't love me. He's too busy for me right now. He's got all these people in the world to take care of. He can't take care of me too. Or he won't help me if I really need it. Those are all lies. God does care about you. He loves you. He isn't too busy. Nothing can overtax a God who is infinite and caring. And he will help you because your Father in heaven has promised to meet your every need. Watch out. Make sure you're thinking on things that are true. Paul also mentions the word honest. Here's the idea of honorable or upright or noble. In other words, don't let your mind hang out in the sewer. If your mother wouldn't approve, you can be sure God won't approve either. Then he says just. Just refers to what is right or adheres with the standard that God has set between right and wrong. Often in tough times, people are tempted to let things slide, to fudge on the rules. But I want to remind you, if it's right and God said it was right, then it was right yesterday and it's right today and it will be right 100 years from now. So watch what you think. In fact, bring every thought captive to Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If Christ wouldn't think on it, if Christ wouldn't approve, then it has to go. The rest of the verse words in this verse, pure and lovely, of good report, these all refer to moral excellence. He's talking about, think about the best things. Think about good things. Think about things that are lovely, that is pleasant and beautiful, as opposed to sinful and immoral. Virtue, a word that means moral excellence and praise, worthy of commendation. Think about the best things, not about the worst things. Don't think about the what-if scenarios. Think about the God who is, and he can get you through whatever. When it comes to thinking, then, we need to do more to choose the right kinds of thoughts. There couldn't be a more important time to watch your thoughts than right now. If you're analyzing statistics, if you're reading news reports, if you're listening to your Facebook feed, your worries are going to mount. And there's only one way to bring them into check. And that is to get yourself counterbalanced by looking at the truth about God in His Word. Honestly, believer, take a thought for just a moment. Compared to the time you spend in the news with the time you spend in God's Word, that's going to be a direct reflection of the strength of your faith. The two correspond. As your reading and meditation on the Word goes up, your faith will soar. As you focus on the news and stats and things that are happening, your faith will shrink. Honestly, we need to give some evaluation how much time and thought we're giving to God's Word. These are uncertain times, but God is still God. And you are a Christian, and you can keep your head because the God of peace is looking out for you, and He will not let you go. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 9, the last verse of our text, look, think about these things I've just given you, these action plans. Be careful to get along. Be careful to pray. Be careful about what you think. And if you'll do these things, Paul says, those things which you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. Our peace has a source. That source is God. And we can invite Him and His peace into our lives by following these action plans. There's an interesting map on display in the British Museum in London. It's an old mariner's chart drawn up in 1525, outlining the North American coastline and its adjacent waters. The cartographer made some intriguing notations in the regions of the world that were yet unexplored. He wrote, here be giants, here be fiery scorpions, here be dragons. Eventually, the map came into the hands of Sir John Franklin, a British explorer in the early 1800s, and he made some changes to the map. Where he found those notations, those erroneous and fearful notations, he scratched those out, and in their place, over the map, he wrote, here is God. Friend, I want you to take out your pen. I want you to draw yourself a map over the present crisis. And I want you to cross out all the fearful inscriptions you've written there. And I want you to write, here is God. Because he is here. He has already been to all the places you will ever be. And you can have peace if you trust him. May God help us to do what we can to maintain the peace that's found in him. Shall we pause for prayer? God, we're thankful for this truth from a church that was struggling. Paul offered instruction about how to maintain peace by getting along with our friends and colleagues, by praying and by honing in or reining in our thoughts. God, help us each to do this at a time like this especially, so that we can keep our heads. Thank you, God, that you are here right now in all that's going on. You are not far away. Here is God. Give us that peace today and throughout the coming week. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. Please help us to respond in a way that would be pleasing to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. I can't even see you, but God can. Has he touched your heart? Have you been full of care this week? Is your worry mounting? Let me ask you, how are you doing in your relationships at home? Have you lost it? Have you ridden somebody a little bit too hard? Have you shouted at your spouse? Is there some correction you need to make with your kids? If God touched your heart about this, would you ask first for his forgiveness, and then ask for his help to make it right with them and to have success in your relationships this week? Maybe your worries have been mounting, and the reason is you're not praying. Oh, you pray when you get up, and you pray over your meals, but you need to commit each of the stresses and pressures over to the Lord throughout the day. Maybe God touched your heart about your prayer time. Would you respond to him now? Maybe God touched your heart about what you're thinking about. You spend a lot of time on CNN and Fox News and not so much in God's word. Your faith will sink or swim based on how much time you're given to thinking on things that are true. Thinking about God's word, things that are honorable and just and of good report. Would you respond now to God? And would you say yes to however he's spoken to you? Bow your head right there in the quietness of this room. Talk to the Lord and say yes to him about these areas. And move on from here, victorious in your walk with Christ this week. God bless you. And God bless us all as we look forward to seeing what God's going to do in our lives in the coming week. God bless you.